Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com, on Facebook at Faith Peshtigo Church, and also on YouTube. Today's conversation is a follow-up from the sermon from March 29th out of Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 47.
Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Church podcast. This is episode 3 of 3.
Three episodes.
Wait, not 3 of 3. We're going to keep doing these. So it's
yes,
episode 3.
I hope so.
All right. So this is the so if you've noticed, we've got a 2 podcast a week rhythm going. Is it a rhythm after just one full week?
I don't think so. Right now, it's a hope and a dream.
Okay.
And after a few weeks of this, then it's officially a rhythm.
Okay.
Also, should we introduce ourselves?
That may be a good idea.
We skipped right over that part.
Yeah. So I'm Jay. I'm one of the pastors here at Faith. And joining me is Robbie.
Hello, everybody.
Another one of the pastors at Faith. And so, yeah, this is our second week doing this rhythm, and that we hope will become a rhythm. But the first podcast is meant to be kind of a recap of the sermon and any theological questions that we get or questions we get from the church family. And then the second podcast during the week is more about just practical ministry helps from our people. So we'll be interviewing someone from our church and just having a conversation of what does day-to-day life and ministry look like, not just now during this crazy season, but then in the future as we continue on. Hopefully it'll just it'll continue to be relevant as we just talk about what does it look like to be following Jesus on a day-to-day basis. So that is what we're doing here.
Sounds like a good plan to me. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's been great so far. We've gotten really good feedback. We would encourage you, if you don't mind, rating it on iTunes. That just helps it become more visible for our people. So you can leave a review however you feel about it, especially if it's nice. We like nice
especially
reviews.
If it's nice, yes. As it turns out, there is more than one faith church in existence, and so it can be confusing when 11 of them pop up. And so a few stars next to our name helps ours be easier to spot.
Yeah, it's been crazy on YouTube and on the podcast. How many faith churches? If you search faith church, you're not gonna find it.
No, so you're a goner.
Faith Church podcast or Peshtigo is probably a good search. So anyway, so this is let's jump in. I want to talk about the sermon from this weekend. I thought it was fantastic. It was really really strong as Robbie preached. And so if you didn't know, Robbie preached last weekend. So if you think that's awfully arrogant of me to say how strong I thought my sermon was, realizing that maybe you're tuning in and you didn't know that. So Robbie preached this weekend, and
it was
really
in fact
strong.
Very encouraging. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. Yes. As we've been trying to do, we want to give people kind of a look behind the curtain of what does that week of preparation look like leading up to that sermon, and what kind of led to you sharing the things that you shared this weekend. So I'm just curious, in your preparation this week or this past week, what really stood out to you? What was personally convicting, or what was enlightening to you, or what was just kind of awe-inspiring to you? What did God do to you in this time of preparation?
I think what was most exciting was God just revealing in the way that he so often does how relevant his word is. And we've had the schedule out for several months now, and so I knew what I was going to be preaching for a while, and I've been in that passage and praying through that and had a pretty well outlined idea of where I thought I would be going with that. And then over the course of the last week, and with all of the changes that have been going on, I was just astounded by how relevant this passage was to our current situation. And there's no way you could anticipate that months ago when we're planning this out. This obviously was not on the radar, and I was blown away by how this idea of the curtain being torn is so relevant to where we find ourselves. And I was so encouraged by that, encouraged by God's timing in all of this. And as a result, probably half the message ended up on the cutting room floor because I had different illustrations and different things that I was planning on focusing on. But then this just seemed so right to be able to be an encouragement, both to myself and hopefully to our people of where the Spirit is and how we are worshiping Him, and but also the other side of the coin of how important it is for us to be able to continue to gather together, and how glorious it will be when we can do that again.
Yeah, I think you did a fantastic job. I loved how you framed it, that it was both okay and not okay. And it kind of gave us a way to think about this time right now and the technology tools that we're using. Because anybody that knows us knows that we both love technology and hate technology.
Right.
It's a poor substitute for personal interaction. But I think you did a great job of demonstrating why there's space to be grateful for these tools that we have now when we're not able to be physically together, and yet how they are a poor substitute ultimately for actual face-to-face interaction. And and so I think that was super encouraging. I mean, you said it, you kind of shifted gears a little bit. It was amazing that this has been on the calendar for a long time, that you were going to be preaching on this passage. And so before we knew about any of before we knew we were going to be gathering virtually. So I'm curious, what was there anything in particular that you felt got left on the cutting room floor that was originally in your plans and your thoughts, but because of the circumstances, you just decided to leave it?
Well, I was certainly, as I mentioned, the four details that really stood out to me, I was hoping to be able to originally expand on those a little bit more, spend a little more time in each one of those. But ultimately still landing on the curtain, just because that's so extraordinary. It's such a short verse in there, but what happens there is just so extraordinary. I just would have otherwise, under normal circumstances, focused a little more on what does that mean, that the Holy Spirit of the living God of the universe dwells within us, right? So we focused more on how it relates to us specifically in this circumstance, but there is just so much more that we could expand on, and what that means in terms of the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling in us. That's a pretty big deal. And that affects us in some pretty significant ways. And so in the hour and a half version of that message, we would have gone a lot more into what exactly does that look like day in and day out.
We should release that as like bonus content. We should have like, we go ahead and preach the hour and a half version, but we cut it off at 30 minutes. And then
for those of you who are in for the long haul.
Yeah. Let's see how many people stick in there. It'd be like five people. You start seeing how they drop off, like as they go. I always feel that there are definitely times where I've listened to messages where I wish that they would just keep going, and then there are other times where I wish that they wouldn't. And I know that is a foreign feeling to all the people in our church family.
Certainly, nobody is thinking that.
Certainly, nobody has ever thought that that I would stop. That is. Irony. Is that what we call that, Robbie?
We call that irony, correct.
Irony, mm-hmm. Yes. Robbie helps me learn how to identify my parts of speech. I just talk, and then he's like, oh, that's irony. Oh, that's helpful. All right, so a couple other questions that came in from people that I'll just kind of throw out there. A couple of them relate to the sermon specifically, and then one to Mark generically, and then one to the church generically. So,
thank you for the questions, by the way. We are so excited that you guys are responding to that and actually taking that seriously. And so we are excited to take that seriously and actually answer them.
Yeah, right now is a great time to get questions in, because as people kind of warm up to that idea, eventually I could see there being a time where we have just too many questions to answer. But it's helpful to know what people are thinking. It's one of the unique things that we can do and hopefully carry on, because we know we would prefer a dialogue. We would prefer to be able to just sit down over coffee and talk about these things. But it doesn't work when you've got a few hundred people gathered in a room. So we need to get creative. But this is one of the ways that we can still make sure that we're answering kind of unanswered questions. Well, the first question we had came from, you used that passage from Hebrews 10, a beautiful passage about gathering together. And one of the questions that came up was, could the day that it's referring to in Hebrews 10 not only mean the day of Christ's return, but also the next day that the family meets together? And I think the intention behind this question was the whole idea of encouraging one another. When they say like encouraging one another all the more, could that just be referring to encourage one another all the more as the day approaches, as the next time you get together approaches, or does it necessarily mean the day of Christ's return?
I thought this was such a great question. I love thinking about a passage long enough to actually come up with some questions. I think that's really important to not just just read it and move right on, but to actually linger on it a little bit and say, well, what else could this possibly be pointing to? So I love the question. I agree that with the sentiment, but not necessarily that that is what's being communicated in this particular phrase. I think the day, I think, is a phrase that Scripture uses specifically to mean the moment of Christ's return. However, that does not mean that we should not be encouraging one another until the next opportunity that we have to gather. And particularly in our context, we could certainly use that reminder of to continue to encourage each other until we have that opportunity. I thought it was great when we ran by this question in our morning meeting with Jeff Clossy. He had, I thought, an excellent point of reminding us that they were in a time when this was written where the only way to encourage each other was when you were gathered, right? Because there is no Facebook, there are no phones. That's the only way you can actually encourage someone is to be gathered with them. So, so in one sense, it can't mean that we would encourage them until we gather, because that's the only way you can communicate with somebody in first century Middle East. But again, that doesn't mean that the sentiment is wrong. We should, in fact, absolutely be encouraging one another day to day. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3 says we should encourage and exhort one another as long as it is called today, which is, I think, such a great play on words of just ask yourself, is it today? Today? Yes? Okay. Well, then you should be encouraging and exhorting one another.
Yeah, I think the sentiment of the increasing desire to build one another up, encourage one another, desire to be together, that should just be increasing all the more day to day.
Absolutely.
Every day, as because the day is approaching, and I think that's also a word about our sanctification and what should be happening in our hearts, that we are desiring more and more and more to be together and to encourage one another. So that's great. Second question we got is, I think, just in light of the crucifixion in general, as we're thinking about that and spending this time as we approach Easter, talking so much about the crucifixion and the resurrection and the plan for atonement and our redemption, it's just the very simple but also very profound question of why did God wait so long to send Jesus? So you want to take a stab at that one, like why? And I love, again, this is another, it's just a great question, in that it's a question worthy of being asked. We have thousands of years of history, millennia of history in Scripture, all pointing, and we talk about all the time how it's pointing to Jesus. So why did it take so long?
It's such a good question. And as soon as I saw that question pop up in the chat feed, I just loved I love the thought behind it. I love the it's the sincerity of this is clearly such a good thing. Why would it take so long? And the first thing that popped in my head was Galatians 4, where Paul tells the Galatians that it was when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And then even goes on to say, so that we might receive the spirit of adoption as sons and call him Father, call him Abba. And that word is just such a loaded word, right? That word in the fullness of time had come, when time had reached the perfect moment, all of the details that needed to be in place. So it's a little tricky, because we'd say, well, why would God need to wait? But what Scripture says is, he was waiting for the perfect time when every detail, everything was aligned such that now is the perfect time. And there's all kinds of speculation of like what needed to be. And there's some really interesting stuff, in my opinion, about the Greek language and how that's able to communicate information in a way, and the Roman Empire and the way that it had spread and continued to spread. Like, there's a lot of unique things about that time. But so much bigger than that is just in, like, God, for all my literary nerds out there, like a wizard, like Gandalf, shows up precisely when he means to, right? So it is when everything was perfect according to his absolute perfect design, at this moment in history, he unleashes the gospel.
Yeah, and I think it's so it's such a straightforward and simple yet profound question. So I like the fact that we have a simple yet profound answer, because it was the time that God chose, and God's plans are perfect. And when you think about how God is shaping all of this and telling this story and creating all of this, building towards this end where we will enjoy him increasingly forever. And when we get to that place, we will realize the timing of all of this. I mean, I think all of us have those moments in our lives where we say, yeah, if this would have happened at a different time, it wouldn't have meant as much. I think we're hearing stories right now from people who have come to faith recently and saying, if I would have been faced with this last year, this wouldn't have meant as much. This timing. And I think that the personal nature of that comes through in Romans 5, where in verse 6 it says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And we will never fully understand that, because we're not the ones telling the story. We're not the architects behind that.
Right.
But God is, and we know that he is doing it all for the ultimate goal of displaying his glory in the fullest sense, and us experiencing the fullness of joy.
Right.
And so we all know in our lives that timing, there's so many things in our lives where we would say the timing has mattered so much. And so we can trust God in that. Timing is perfect, and it is both for our good and for his glory.
I love the way you said that. I don't know that I've ever necessarily thought of it in those terms, of just as simply because any other time would have been the wrong time.
Yeah.
Right? Because to do it a year later, to do it 1,000 years earlier, to do any other time would have been the wrong time, and God does not make clerical errors, right? He doesn't, right. He didn't go, oh, nuts, I mismanaged my time on that one. Like his timing is absolutely perfect.
And I think, and for us, this is kind of a lead into next week's sermon. That doesn't take away from the fact that for us, it's hard to understand that timing. And
right.
It's hard for us to wait. And actually next week's sermon, it is another one of these God's providential moments. Long ago, we planned this series out and planned that next week, the week before Easter, we were for the first time, I was going to preach about that Saturday in between the waiting. I've never done that before. I was looking forward to doing that. And so I wanted to spend a sermon on what does it look like to wait on that day in between where Jesus has died and day before he resurrects? What does that look like? And how does that pertain to us? And so now even more with this waiting for the restrictions to be lifted and all of that, I just feel like it's just even more poignant in this moment to cover that. So we'll be talking about that on Sunday. Another one that came in that was just as we were going through Mark, and as people know in our church, we love to preach through books of the Bible. And, you know, even though we can't always cover every single verse and every single phrase, we make it a point to not skip over anything just because it's challenging or confusing or anything like that. We typically meet those things head on, for better or worse. We want to demonstrate that. But one of the things that we did actually pass over, someone asked that question of why.
This is such a great question.
It is.
I was very excited about this question.
Yeah, because Robbie actually had mentioned this before. But in Mark 14, 51 and 52, there is a strange mentioning of a man who flees the Garden of Gethsemane naked. And there's just like this interesting, let me find it. And I can read it specifically so we're not like left.
As you're looking for that, I should mention, I made a specific point in our brainstorming session that Jay should explain at length what is happening in this verse, and I was rebuffed.
Yes, I politely declined that invitation.
As it turns out, it wasn't really relevant in the context of your message.
It really wasn't.
It's fair. It was a good choice.
So the verses 51 and 52 are, and a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And so the question is, who is that man? What is he doing in the garden? And why is he running away naked?
And why I think the general question of most people when they read through that passage is, what on earth?
Yeah, that's a fine point on that. Yeah, what on earth? Why is it there? And, you know, one of the things I thought about, like, it's included. It's similar to the whole timing of when Jesus came, included because God wants it there. But why? Why did Mark include that? And I think part of what we need to remember is that these are accounts of the life of Jesus. So there are a lot of details in the Gospels that you wonder, that don't seem to ever connect, as if you were writing a novel. If you're writing a novel, you put some little Easter egg early in the story, and then later there's a reason. Like, it's very rare in a novel, a well-written novel, you wouldn't expect to find random mentionings of characters and people like that never come back into play. But when you're doing a historical account, when the gospel writers are just writing down, this is what happened, then sometimes things like this get thrown in there, and we aren't, like, we don't 100% know who he is or what he's doing there or anything like that. But it is just Mark's account of it being there. I think it says something about the urgency of the situation and kind of the chaos of the moment. But Robbie, you had some thoughts on just why it's interesting that it's in there.
I find it interesting. First of all, I find it interesting that the guy is there, and certainly we are well within the realm of speculation here. So, but it describes that he's there essentially in his pajamas, you could argue. And so I just wonder, is this a guy who is so curious about Jesus, who's so interested in this person of Jesus that he's sneaking out in the middle of the night? You know, I imagine maybe he sees Jesus and the disciples walk past, and he kind of sneaks out and follows to see what they're up to. And so you get this sense of curiosity, but then when things get real, right, when the Romans appear and things start getting messy, then he is quick to flee, and he's actually willing to go to pretty extreme and humiliating lengths to escape the scene, to get away from Jesus and all that it could potentially cost him. So I think that's an interesting little aside to process. The idea of being curious about Jesus, but then when it gets real, when it's really going to cost something, how quick am I to flee and what lengths am I willing to go to get away from that?
Yeah. And of course, my mind, when we talked about this, my mind went to what kind of passive aggressive thing was Mark doing? Well, through Peter. So Peter, you know, is a big source for the Gospel of Mark. And so maybe the source. And I just wonder, was he hiding something? Like, was it one of his buddies that he just kind of outed in that and said, hey, make sure you include this. He ran away naked. I don't know. That's where my mind goes.
As we said, we're in the realm of speculation at this point, because we get precious few details about this bizarre scenario.
I just think it's telling, though, that when we are in the realm of speculation, Robbie, you go very philosophical and theological on it, and I just go straight gag. Like, it's a bit that somebody put in there, just slid it in there.
Some disciples trying to give another apostle a zinger.
Yep, I included it. I didn't mention your name, though. It's cool. Sorry, that was not helpful at all. But it's just, these are the things that run through my mind. That's what happens when there's no filter on me. So the last question actually doesn't have anything to do with either of these. It's more about the nature of our Sunday morning worship right now. And
right.
We've had several conversations with people. And so the question has come up of why do we make the decision to record the service on previous or prior to Sunday morning, and then stream the recording of that on Sunday morning? And it's a good question. And I think, the thing about it, when this all happened and we had to decide, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to gather our people together to worship? And what is that going to look like? I've said to our staff that there's no manual for this. Like, we're doing the best we can, trying to figure out the best things. And so that's the first thing that we know, is that there's no perfect solution. There's no obvious slam dunk. A lot of churches have decided different things. And so everybody's just trying to figure out what's the best thing we can do in the situation. And so to that end, we had to identify what's our number one priority. And our number one priority for the weekend gathering was that our people were actually worshiping together, that they were, it was a shared experience at the same time. And so that's why we didn't just record it and post it online for people to just download whenever. We wanted there to be a real sense and a real way that when you are singing in your living room, you are singing with your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That you could be, you could text a brother or sister, and knowing that they are singing the same song, that they're listening to the sermon at the same time. When it, when the service is over, you could call one of your brothers or sisters in the church family and talk about the service and talk about what God is doing in them, and that there was this shared experience. So that was our number one priority.
Which, by the way, I think has been an awesome blessing in seeing, as some people have shared, like, videos of themselves experiencing the service, to see, like, the screen in the background, to see, like, Joe and Esther singing, and then their kids in the foreground singing along. Like, I think, I think people have been actually experiencing that, that sense of togetherness, and that's been really encouraging to see.
Yeah, so that's a, that was like our big priority. And so then we thought, okay, what's the best way to do that? And honestly, you know, we thought about streaming at one live service on Sunday morning, because I made the decision early on, we're not going to stream two live services. That seemed unnecessary to do to our staff right now with how many other new responsibilities are being added. But we wanted to keep things as normal as possible for people. So we thought if we can keep people in the rhythm of 8:45 and 10:30, then that will be, that will bring a sense of comfort. Also, we know that there will be new people who are joining. We've already had new people joining our online streams that have never come to our church.
Yes.
That then if they come, once this is all over, our hope is that they would come and join us in person. And that just makes that transition that much easier, that it's at the same, at the same times. But on top of that was, the streaming is a technical marvel, and it is it's not an easy thing. Like, you think about, like, on an iPhone, sure, I could stream Facebook Live or whatever, but that's not multiple inputs of, you know, speaker audio and musicians,
right,
and all that,
right,
all trying to create it for an experience for people to actually be able to engage in it, be a distraction free experience. And if you don't know, that's always a philosophy of ours on Sunday morning. We just don't want things to be a distraction. So we want to do things well enough so that they don't inhibit people worshiping, but we don't want to do them in such a way that it pulls away from the idea of worshiping. And so
absolutely,
that was kind of the desire of that. And there just are technical limitations, like gear and things. It's a whole different world to live stream a service, not to mention the fact that, you know, Robbie, you had mentioned actually watching a live stream where it cut out and then it delayed like another 15 minutes. And then when they finally did pick back up, it was in the middle of the sermon. And so those were just things that we were just thinking, man, if we can avoid that, let's try avoiding that for right now. And then I would say the final reason that we did that was just the safety of the people involved. Like, we have musicians coming in. When you do live stream, you've got to have a lot more people in the tech booth. So we had to really consider, at what point are we asking too much of our volunteers to be in, say, like back in the tech booth? You probably need we need 3 or 4 people back there to pull off a live stream at least. And they're in this enclosed space. They're not able to be, you know, the distancing. And so, you know, whatever you feel about that, that is what we're being asked to do. And now we're asking that of volunteers and staff. And so that just increasingly felt like maybe that's not something we're supposed to be doing. There are ways we could work around that, but again, we made the choice that we were already handling all these other things. So we're wanting to do the YouTube, the daily vlog, the daily emails, the podcasts. We decided to put our energy into trying to keep us connected throughout the week,
rather than
all of it building towards this live stream on Sunday that we have to make sure is 100% pulled off in that moment.
So. It is tricky. It is quite the technological endeavor. And for a lot of churches, they were just set up to do this well already. For much larger churches, a lot of them live stream every service. And so they have the technology, the infrastructure, the staff, they're all set up to do that. But for many churches our size and certainly smaller, it's been literally, we have 3 days to figure out how to do this thing. Okay, now we have a few more days. And so it's just, we were not set up to do something like that. So I have been beyond impressed with Jeff Bauer in particular, and just how amazing he has been in the last couple of weeks of being able to pull together the technology required to do even what we're doing right now. I mean, if it was just you and I scrambling around to try to figure this out, this would not quite work as well as it has.
Yeah, well, and that's a really great point. So Jeff is a very good specific example. So in the last couple of weeks, Jeff Bauer has set up all the staff members to be able to work remotely, including being able to call into the voicemail, call out through our church number from home, have online staff meetings, setting anybody up in the church with being able to do that, helping people through those tech issues. He set up, you know, Max Katzbeck, you know, who is down in Appleton serving, he was our former intern. Jeff set up a system for Max to be able to, you know, pull off the recording of their services. Excuse me. And he also, on top of that, he's then handling all the uploading of these videos and monitoring all of that. So Jeff has, his workload has significantly increased, and he has done it with joy. And the thought of then throwing on top of all of that to say, okay, now you have to monitor this live stream upload and make sure that there are no hiccups at all while it's being produced perfectly so that it's not a distraction for people to worship, felt like that might put him over the edge.
That's a lot.
We want
Jeff to survive this,
right?
Whether he gets COVID or not.
Right. And we want, and so we're thinking long term that, okay, well, when this is all said and done, we don't envision ourselves being a live streaming church, like an online church or anything like that. Like, we are a physically gathering together church family. And so we're just trying to get through this part and do it in such a way that it helps our people worship together. So I appreciate that. And I know we've received a lot of encouragement from people, and so we are grateful. It is a joy to serve the church family in this way and to figure out these things. And we've just heard a lot of neat things coming from it. And so I do want to remind you that as we kind of wrap this episode up, just remind you of the different things that are going on. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel to get the daily vlogs that started yesterday. They're just two to three minute videos, just sharing some thoughts from scripture from the different from our staff. We've got the daily email that's been running, up and running, and so you want to make sure you're on our email list, and of course our podcast, which you're listening to right now. So it is maybe safe to assume that you have been able to find those, but you can subscribe on iTunes or through Google or whatever makes sense for you.
And speaking of people who have made great technological feats of advancement for us, Christoph is currently producing the very podcast that you are listening to right now, and has done really a spectacular job of equipping the staff to be able to connect in this way, even if we can't all be in the same office, to be able to connect and record this. So thanks to Christoph as well, and all the work that he's been doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, so that's just a good lead in for just knowing that all the staff, it's funny that if you would have asked us before, if we weren't gathering every week and all these things ended, you know, what would happen to our workload? Well, it has increased, but man, I would say the morale of the team is really high. People have really jumped in and tackled these things. So Christoph has used all of his production skills from the past and pulled this off to make these usable. Jeff has done all the things that we talked about. Jeff Clossy has been working hard organizing all of these systems so that we are able to pull these things off. Leslie has taken on new responsibilities. Donna is producing you know, the family devotional, and she's writing a lot more and recording the vlogs and connecting with her teams and figuring out how to equip parents to disciple their kids. And then you have Red, who's cleaning the building and needing everything changing about his day-to-day responsibilities. Yeah. And he just popped in and just was in super high spirits. So I just I'm just so thankful for this team and thankful for the church and how you've supported us as a team as we just continue to try to serve you in this.
Well, and we want to hear from you too. So please keep the questions coming in. We love getting them. We love getting a chance to answer them. Hopefully you feel like your answer was, or your question was handled well, and if so, keep them coming. And we want to hear stories of, you know, certainly your daily rhythms have changed as well. We want to hear what are you doing to connect with one another. We've been so encouraged to hear some of those already, and in the second podcast of the week, we want to be able to share a lot of those stories. So be sure to email. You can email to connect@faithpeshtigo.com or text us, whatever. Just share your stories. We want to hear them.
Yeah. So that pretty much does it for this episode. We do want one other plug. If you have any needs in this time, or you know of people that have needs, make sure you're watching out for your neighbors, and then let us know if there's things that we can do to help. We've had people notify us of a few things, and we would love to facilitate that and connect people so people are getting their needs met and covered. I actually heard, this was a random thing. We're going to throw this out here. Lauren was just reading a story about somebody where they had an elderly neighbor, and they just asked their elderly neighbor. They have a system set up with them that they put a green piece of paper in the window to say that they're okay. A yellow piece of paper in the window means I need a supply, or I could use something from the grocery store or something like that. And then red means I'm not okay. I need help.
That is a genius idea.
It's such a genius idea. So if I just throw that out there, if you can use that or implement that in any way, or let us know how we can help you. So that is it. That'll wrap up our third episode. Good job, Robbie.
Hey, thanks. I tried my best. Well done, Jay.
That's what I was fishing for. I was hoping you'd reciprocate that. So you're right. You did.
I got your back.
And thanks again to Christoph for producing this, and to the whole team. And thank you for taking time to listen. And we look forward to having you back and listening to our next podcast, which will be released on Friday. I believe we're going to do a Tuesday-Friday rhythm. So make sure you are looking out for that one.
Love you, family, and we'll talk to you soon.